Hello, and welcome to New Every Day on Category 5 TV. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen.
And we are here starting a brand new online TV show through Category 5 TV. And we just wanted the opportunity to just talk with you about everyday issues encountered as followers of Jesus. And, you know, we're still working out every day what that means. What does it look like to actually follow Jesus? What does it mean to see God in everyday life?
Probably share a little bit with you about, you know, our backgrounds and our different spheres of connections and influences. And I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 17 years, so I have a totally different perspective on how to interact with people and interact and how to connect people to God, because that's what I do.
Right.
But you're a nurse, so you would find how you live out your faith maybe in a totally different way.
Yeah, and even, it's just very interesting. Jen and I, we are actually roommates, and so this is kind of just a little glimpse into our everyday. One of the things I really valued, or have valued since living with Jen, is our couch time together. So, you know, at the end of a busy day, we'll come and we'll talk about things that have happened during the day, and, you know, Jen will share from her perspective, oh, here's how I saw God working, or here's what I'm struggling with, or here, you know, excuse me, this was a hard conversation, and what is it actually, you know, how do we interpret this as a Christian? And so we'll, you know, open the Bible together, we'll pray together, and I've really just grown from that, and just learned a lot from Jen and your perspective, and we're very different people, and like she said, I am not a pastor, but I've been able to see God working in my life in different ways, and we're just excited to share that with you and and also hear from you as the viewers. And
yeah, and so if you have any questions at all, please feel free to like us on Facebook and leave a message there, or email us at neweveryday at category5.tv, and even if it's a prayer request, like, type it in, send it off. We'd be glad to pray for you. And we want to encourage you, just like we have been encouraging to each other. And so why don't we just talk a little bit about how this all came about? Like, we've been roommates now for about
almost three years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Very cool.
And she's still my friend.
She's still my friend. I'm the difficult one. Anyhow, but that is one of the things that has helped us, though, actually, is just acknowledging, like, I'm hard to live with, and we need God's grace, actually, every day. And that's one of the cool things, right? And I think that's that verse from Lamentations, I think, has been such, is what we're basing the show on, but has been such a, okay, it's a brand new day. So I'm going to read that.
Yeah.
So this is from the NIV, if you want to follow along, actually. Or it says, starting in verse 21 of chapter 3, it says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." And so often, that is such a promise that I cling to, because it says his mercies, or his faithfulness is new every morning. His, like,
yeah,
it's like Anne of Green Gables, who is a character, a Canadian book character, she would say, you know, each day is new with no mistakes in it. And that's just God's grace.
Yeah.
And the fact that we get to begin each new day fresh,
yeah,
and God is there, like, just to walk with us and help us, and say, you know, God, I'm having a bad day today, and yet Carrie's my roommate, and I want to treat her with love and kindness. I can't do that.
Yeah.
That is God's grace. So that, you know, when I get dressed and I come out of my room and there's Carrie, that I can be like, yay, because God is with me. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes coming home from a hard day, it's like, okay, like, we're to treat each other with kindness and respect and honor.
Yeah.
And it's okay, Lord, like, you need to help us. And that's what I love about God's mercy. It's like, no matter what it is, like, Lord, I need to cook this meal that I'm sharing with someone. I don't cook badly or poorly.
No, I'm still alive. It's not bad.
And I'm still alive too, so it's not bad. But even that is a mercy.
Yeah.
The fact that he takes what I put in that pot and he makes something wonderful. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. And just, you know, conversations that we have with various people that we go into feeling like, how is this going to turn out? And we turn it over to God. And then he
makes it new.
He makes it new.
Yeah. Yeah. When we were talking about what do we call this show? You know, we knew that we wanted to be able to just be real with people and not negate the fact that life happens, mm-hmm. and bad things happen and bad conversations happen, and that sometimes there's turmoil. I mean, you turn on the TV and what do you see all the time, right? It's mm-hmm. it's always bad news. It's always, you know, bringing you down. And I know sometimes at work there can be really bad things that I encounter, and it can really wear you down. But like, we're holding on to that promise that it's actually God who is able to make us new. We're not just talking about an emotional experience. We're going to share today about our stories, because, you know, not that the show isn't necessarily about us as individuals. It's going to be about how we explore just life issues and how to have a relationship with God. But I think it's important that, you know, you have an idea of where we're coming from. So maybe, Jen, do you want to just share a little bit about, like,
sure,
who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
Well, my name is Jennifer, as we've just already established. But when I think about who God is, there has never been a time in my life when I haven't known God. My parents are Christians, and their parents were Christians. They're both raised in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday, and
I didn't know your grandparents were too.
My grandparents were too.
Okay.
And my grandmother played the piano or organ every Sunday, and I still remember, that was on my dad's side, and I still remember my grandfather on my mom's side with the hymnal on the couch.
Oh, really?
And he would crack open the hymnal and he would sing the old hymns.
Oh, wow.
And I remember as a 3-year-old sitting at his feet and hearing him sing these old songs, like In the Sweet By and By, which is just this wonderful song that, you know, at some point when he's, you know, this world has passed away, that he's going to be face to face with Jesus. And, you know, for me, like as a 3-year-old, like he was old, like I think he was 80 at that point. So not that 80 is old, but as a 3-year-old, like anything over 20,
sure,
is old.
Hey, when you're 80, you can be new every day.
That's true. That actually,
right?
That is true. You are new every day, right from the very beginning. So I grew up in a home with morals and values based on who Jesus was. We went to church every Sunday. I went to Sunday school. I went to a midweek Bible class. You know, so I learned about who Jesus was and how much, what he did for us on the cross, which, you know, so I've grown up knowing that God loves me, that he died on the cross for my sins because our relationship was broken between us and God. And so I knew from a young age that if I confessed Jesus, or if I said, I want to follow Jesus, that he would... See, and I understand it now, but as a little kid, I knew that he would come into my heart. That he would come into my heart and he'd live with me. And so that happened, I think, around grade 6. I went So even though I knew who God was, I hadn't actually made a decision to follow God. And so at a summer camp called Vacation Bible School, I remember being, our theme was a circus theme. And so there, I was we were under the big tent. And I remember that day, for some reason, we were talking about lions. And I think Jesus being the Lion of Judah, which is one of his names in the Bible, because lions are seen as like the king, right? The king of the beasts. And I remember the lady at the front was talking about Jesus. And she said, if you want to ask Jesus into your heart today, put your hand up. Hmm. I put my hand up. And it was just so cool because I knew I wanted to follow Jesus. And it has been an interesting journey. Like, that's how I first came to Christ.
Okay.
So now I know your journey is different.
It was a little different.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yours?
Sure. I just have a question, though.
Sure.
Because even some of that story I hadn't heard yet. So
okay.
I'm learning new things about Jen, and this is great. Like, when you prayed to invite Jesus into your heart, mm-hmm. like, did anything significant happen right after that? You know, did you, I don't know, did you feel different?
I don't think I felt different.
Did the big
I
tent just, blow away?
I know.
And then it was Jesus.
I just knew that I had made a choice. And from that point on, God was with me. Did my behavior remarkably change? I don't think so. I just knew I had asked.
Yeah.
And I knew he had answered. It was just a knowing. It's so hard. Like, 'cause I know some people's experiences are different. I just knew. I said, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And I think I felt a peace now that, because there's something there, and I believe I felt a peace about my sins being forgiven. And I was at peace with God. Because even as a grade 6, that's 11, you can experience that peace. Whether you're 11 or 25 or 37 or 85, I can only speak up to some of those ages, of course. But that's the cool thing about God, is when you ask, God, would you forgive me for whatever it is, whether it's the first time or the 100th time, I believe he comes and he gives you peace. That deep knowing that he has heard, and it's like that sin is gone through his grace, his mercy.
So what happened after that? So, you know, you became a Christian, and then you said it's been a journey for you since then. So can you bring kind of us up to speed of,
well,
you know, now you're a pastor. So obviously you kept going in that vein, so that's good.
Yeah, I did keep going, and went through my teenage years, you know, going to youth group and having some really solid people pour into my life. Not just my parents and not just my pastor, but other Christian believers who taught me about who Jesus is, and modeled what does it mean to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to watch them, to watch couples love their, like, husbands love their wives and wives love their husbands,
right,
and to see them struggle together was really very encouraging, to watch other people grow in their faith that were not related to me. So it wasn't just my family.
Right.
And so then I went to school in Ottawa. I went to the University of Ottawa. And I believe at that point, somewhere in those 4 years, I think I made a stronger just commitment of living out the faith. And when I came home from school, I was planning on working in gerontology, working with seniors and social issues. My undergrad degree was in human kinetics, so health and science. and lots of movement, like helping people move. And very interesting, my undergrad paper was, does a 15-minute static stretching routine affect the flexibility of seniors?
Really?
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, so we can teach you how to stretch. I have stretching books right here. But what was interesting is I planned on coming home, taking a one-year diploma in gerontology and then working in that field. And the pastor at our church at that point in time said, well, you know, our youth pastor has left. Would you mind filling in?
Maybe you can teach kids how to stretch like a senior.
Anyway. I know.
Okay, and so I'm like, they asked you, like, come fill in the gap here.
Come fill in the gap. And I'm like, I can fill in. That's not a problem. And so I have been filling in for 17 years. I've changed churches since then. I've been to Europe since then. But really felt the call of God on my life. And I know that sounds such like a weird term. What does that sound like? And I remember Bishop Keith Alford, who's, I'm part of the Free Methodist denomination. That's just where God has placed me. He sat me down at one of our events and he just said, Jen, I see the makings of a pastor. And I was like, okay, thank you. And like, what do you say to the bishop? Like,
thanks man.
Yeah, so in the Free Methodist denomination, the bishop is like the top guy.
Okay,
so not every denomination is set up in that way.
Okay,
so I thought about it and it just didn't let me go. It was just that thought, just I was not released from that thought. And since then, I cannot imagine doing anything else with my life. I love talking to people about who Jesus is and how much he loves them, that he has plans and purposes for them. And no matter where they're at in their life, Jesus wants to be a part of it. And that's what I love about the name of our show. That whole idea of new every day. Well, what is new every day? His mercies are new every day. Who is he? He is God. He is, you know, the beginning and end. He's the creator. He is this wonderful person, divine, and yet, you know, I believe wants to be intricately involved in every single detail of our life, right down to what am I going to wear today? Who am I going to talk to today? Where am I going to get gas today? Because I have learned that with all the choices that we make, God will use them.
Right.
And so,
like, you've prayed specific prayers and you've seen God answer specific prayers.
Yes. So, yeah. So I can't imagine doing anything else, you know, until God tells me to do something else. I want to tell people about how much God loves them and has a desire to be in relationship with him. And my life verse is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you would have life. Life. Like, life. And have it to the full. Like, not just half.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
But the fullness of God.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at now. And yeah. Thoroughly enjoying God's mercy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something that we can explore later on in shows as they come up is, you know, what are some of the things that we try to fill our life with to bring us like a sense of purpose and like a reason for being here.
Mm-hmm.
That like we have understood to be found in God. And experiencing a relationship with Jesus. But maybe that's something that we can talk about later on. If you have some ideas or questions that you want to see us or engage in discussion with us,
mm-hmm.
then send us a message on Facebook. Or you can send us an email and we'll talk about that again at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. But thanks, Jen. It's good to hear. And I know there's a whole lot more that has happened in your life that hopefully we'll hear about as shows go on and as it's pertinent to different things that we talk about.
Yes.
So that's cool.
All right. So I think it's your turn.
Okay. So, yeah, where do I begin? So I wasn't raised in a, we'll say, like a Christian home. My parents didn't really go to church. We went on Christmas and on Easter when you probably should go.
Right.
But I really didn't have a concept of who God is. You know, I kind of always believed that, you know, when I looked around and I saw the sun rising and setting and the world turning and all these birds and animals, and I thought, well, something must have made them. So I attributed that to this God figure, who I didn't know who that was. Mm. So yeah, my parents weren't Christians. Then one day I went up to my mom and I said, Mom, I think like we should go to church.
Wow. Random. How do you know how old you were?
I think I was around 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Kind of the same age.
Yeah, right?
Cool.
So yeah, we went to a a local church in the small town where I grew up. Just random Sundays, my mom and I would go, and my dad was cool with it because it was a good time for mom and I to connect and have some time together, and it seemed like a good moral thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
So we did. And then, you know, we didn't go consistently or anything like that. And then I think I was around 12. We were driving past a church in the area, a different church, and there was a sign outside that had a cool saying on it. Couldn't even tell you what it is. I don't know if it was a Bible verse or it was, like, about nature. I don't know. But I said, oh, that's so cool. Can we go to that church, Mom? And she was like, okay, well, I guess if my kid's asking me to go to church again, I'm going to go. And, she, you know, she was really gracious to do that and give up her time. I realize that now. She was busy. But so we started going to this church, and I actually went that summer to a vacation Bible school, I guess similar. No circus. I think it was about Africa or something like that. Pardon me. So I went to vacation Bible school, and it's like a week long, where I heard about God through song. They would teach us songs. We'd do crafts. I think I built a shelf. But I just got to hear about who Jesus is. And my mom actually started attending the Alpha program.
Okay, so what is... We hear a lot about Alpha. So yeah. How would you describe it?
So it... And I've done the course now and really enjoyed it. But Alpha is basically an introduction to what is Christianity and why should we care? So who God is, why bother going to church, what is the Bible? Is it just a bunch of stories put together by people who lived a long time ago, or is it really true and does it have meaning for our lives? Mm-hmm. So usually they have a meal, they talk about it, you watch a video, and just spend time talking to people and hearing about their ideas too.
So I think if you're interested in Alpha, we'll put a link up on our Facebook so you can click on it. So you can, there's probably an Alpha running nearby if you have more questions. So we'll put that link on on the Facebook page and on our email. I think, cool.
Right on. Thanks, Jen. So mom started going there, and that's where she became a Christian. And then I remember her just telling me, okay, well, do you want to be a Christian too? And I was like, okay. Why not? If mom's doing it, I might as well too. But I had a better sense that, you know, I think God is real. So I prayed with her and I said, okay, Jesus, I guess you're real. And can you forgive my sin and come into my life? And same as you, Jen, there was no fireworks. I didn't run to the mirror and look like someone new. But I mean, the Bible does say that when we come to him, he does make us new. He washes away the old self and starts creating something new in you.
I think that's 2 Corinthians 5, 10. Yeah.
I'll let you look that up there, Jen. Thanks. So what happened after that? I guess I became a Christian at that point. I started going to youth group, but I always really felt like I had to be perfect. Even before I started going to church, my parents weren't overly, you know, strict or anything like that, but I always felt like I couldn't mess up. Like I had to be perfect all the time. It's really struggled with guilt. So if I made a mistake or I don't know, even if it was something totally benign, then I really carried this guilt with me. And I remember Mom saying, "Carrie, like, give me whatever you're struggling with." And she didn't know God at that time.
Right.
And I would actually pretend to take sin out of my pocket. I didn't know it was called sin then, when you do something wrong.
Right.
And I would give it over to her, physically, metaphorically, and she'd say, "Okay, I've taken whatever your burden you're carrying, and now be a kid, you know? Don't be so uptight."
Yeah.
But I understood that, but I'm like, but that doesn't remove anything. That didn't do anything inside of me, right? I still knew that there was something there that I couldn't fix. Yeah. But we needed God. I needed God to make me a new person. Mm. Did you find that verse, Jen?
That verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone and everything..." Everything is made new.
Yeah. So at that point in my life, I started to understand, okay, you know, Jesus, I'm learning about him. He says he's the Son of God. I started to go to youth group and read the Bible. And that's when I heard somebody say, I had other women in my life who really encouraged me. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Carrie, like, you got to read the Bible every day. Just read a little bit, even if you don't get it."
Right.
So I just started praying, and I didn't know how to pray. Neither did my family. So I just said, "God, I'm going to read this, and can you just show me even one verse, just one thing that I can think about and learn about?" So I'd write down that one verse and pray that like God would teach me about it. Mm-hmm. And he did, Jen, like in crazy ways. I was in high school, and I remember I would just ask him questions because I didn't know the right way to do it. I didn't kneel beside my bed. I would just start talking to God. I remember one time I was reading on a cereal box, BHT added for freshness. Random, right?
Right.
And I was like, "God, what's BHT?" Kept eating my cereal, right?
Right.
Later on that day, I opened my science textbook. This is like grade 10. Opened it up and it said, "BHT is a chemical blah, blah, blah added for blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "God, I asked you that question this morning and you answered it." And it was just really affirming. So I started to spend time every day and started to see glimpses of God. I would be praying for friends. I prayed. I was praying for my friends. Brother who had cancer, and later on that summer I learned that he was in remission for his cancer, and I started to see, okay, you know, praying matters and I can talk to God. But it wasn't until I was 18 and I went to a banquet at the high school that I was attending.
Okay.
And I remember people were getting awards and things like that, and I was on a bunch of sports teams, and I was really trying hard to be perfect and do everything right.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't get the awards, but I still, like, I clapped for my friends, was happy for them. But I knew in my heart, like, that I was proud and that I didn't, you know, that I wasn't perfect and I wasn't actually happy for them. And I could see, like, little glimpses of the fact that, you know what, you can think you're totally okay.
Yeah.
But on the inside, there is this ugly thing called sin. Even in the midst of doing something right, there's this ugly thing called sin there. And there were other stuff that happened in my life that, you know, maybe I'll share later on. But I knew at that point, like, there is no amount of good that I can do. I can't volunteer enough. I can't do enough good deeds. I can't say enough kind words.
Yeah.
That's going to, like, balance the scales between goodness and being bad before God. And that's when I realized I need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there's a verse in the Bible said, excuse me, "For the wages of sin is death."
That's what I was just looking at, yeah.
"But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And if you confess your sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from everything that's not right.
Yes.
And so that's really when I turned to God and I said, I personally need forgiveness of the things that I've done wrong. And I prayed and I asked that he would truly forgive me. And I think that's when I really saw a change in my life, that God is able to forgive sin. Mm. We're able to have a fresh start with him every day. And that's, I guess, what it means to walk in his mercy.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was after that time, and there have been times since where, you know, I know that I've been forgiven of bad things that I've done. But that was a turning point, I think, for me.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when we sin, which is basically missing the mark, it's, we're not, like you said, you're doing bad things, so what do we call it? Sin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we can feel like we've sinned, and there's no possible way that God can forgive us.
Yeah.
Like, because we wouldn't forgive ourselves. I think, and so often we think, we put who we are on God, and we think that he operates the same way.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. Like, it doesn't matter what we've done, he forgives. And he doesn't grill us. Well, why did you do it that way? Well, you've done this before. Like, he, like.
Yeah, and yet he's perfect.
Yeah.
Right? And he is not, there was no sin in Jesus in his life. And if, and maybe if this is the first time you're even hearing about this Jesus, and you want to learn more about him and see and read about his life, in your Bible, if you want to start in the book of John, the Bible's divided in different books, Sage, and if you want to start reading, you know, just ask God to show you what does his mercy look like. And that's probably a good place to start. Would you recommend that book, or what would you recommend?
John is a great place because John was one of the apostles that traveled with Jesus when he was on earth.
Like the 12 disciples?
Yeah, the 12 disciples. And he and his brother James. And what I like about John, which is different than the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John is in the New Testament, the fourth Gospel, is he paints a very real picture of Jesus. Like the emotional side of Jesus. I want to say the wrestling side of Jesus. There, as I have read through John, like, oh, I didn't think Jesus would reply like that.
Mm.
Oh, like how he interacts with his parents, how he interacts with people, how he interacts with God. Like, it's just very, I want to say, more personable.
Mm.
I love the other Gospels. Mark is probably one of my favorite Gospels because it's short. It's 16 chapters. and because I tend to be very much point by point by point, like here's the point, here's the point, here's the point. But John actually goes in and fleshes it all out. And yeah, I think John is a great place to start. I agree. So if you have want to know who Jesus is, I would do the same thing that Carrie does. This is my journal that I keep every day. And, you know, like reading through John. So if I have a question, I would write down a verse.
Mm-hmm.
And God, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does this mean? And then, and I actually would write that in. So I'd write down the verse and I would write in, Dear God, what
like
does this mean?
Just like a letter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And sometimes I'll sit quietly and I'll feel like, I feel like the answer has come and I'll just start writing out. Or sometimes what I'll do is I'll just start writing what I think the answer is. God, as I write and think about this, this is what I'm thinking. Would you direct me as I write? And I find the thoughts start coming because what we're doing is opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. And when we, and that's another one of the things that I love about God. He's a promise keeper. And throughout the Bible, it says, if you turn to me, I will turn to you. Like, I'll come near to you. Like, the book of Jeremiah says, you know, if you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. James in the New Testament says, come to God or draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it nowhere does it say you have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be
Thank
good.
Goodness.
You have to have it all together. And Carrie said so clearly, like, you see the outside of us.
Yeah.
And we've had this conversation so many times. We see the outside of each other and we can say, oh, I'm so thankful you're my roommate. And yet on the inside, it's like this wrestling, and we can say, like, but if you only knew what I was thinking about or what I thought about today. And yet the grace of God says, if you come near to me, if you give me those thoughts, if you give me those feelings, if you give me whatever, I will come near to you and I will lift them off, just like your mom lifted, you know.
When I handed over my pocket lint in.
Yeah, and she took them. And now the cool thing about God is your mom couldn't replace that sin with herself. But God actually lifts that sin off and he fills us with his Holy Spirit that then will guide and direct us. So if our heart is to grow closer to God, then God honors that. That is what I love about God. Mm-hmm. Like he's so faithful. He's so faithful.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what you said, that my mom taking my pocket concerns couldn't replace that with anything. And, you know, now I understand that because we sinned against God, mm-hmm. because we do wrong, we are separated from God, right? And we can't live with him after we die, and we can't have a relationship with him if we have sinned. Mm-hmm. And everyone has sinned. Like that verse I said earlier, mm-hmm. Romans 3:23. But that, like, I'm understanding now, and we're still learning. Like, this show is not to be like, we know everything, and here, Jen's a pastor, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that, now I'm learning that God had to send himself in the person of Jesus Christ to come and take the place and actually die for us. If the wages of sin is death, he had to die on the cross. But he didn't stay there. He was buried. And then he rose again. And he came back to life. And you'll read that in the book of John. And so he defeated death. So that means, and he says, if you come to me, you will have eternal life. And we're forgiven of our sins, and we come to him, and we ask him for forgiveness, and we can have eternal life with him. And so he's come, and he's taken that place, and now made a bridge for us to come to God, because the blood of Christ covers our sin.
Amen.
So we can go to him.
Yes.
And it's not by our own works, but it's by faith in what he did on the cross. I don't think we'll fully understand what that means until we get to heaven.
No.
But it's something that we can certainly talk about here.
So I think we're getting close to the end of our time. So why don't we...
That went fast.
Why don't we pray for those who are watching? And something we challenge each other with and pray for each other is that we would grow in the Lord. And so I think, why don't, as we pray, we'll pray for you. And if... I always like to say, I always have three options, right? When I talk to people, will you at least be open to learning more about God? Secondly, don't put it off. Today is the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow Jesus. And for those of you that have been serving the Lord and you just want to grow in your faith, today is the day. Like, his mercies are new every day. This is what I love. Like, his mercies are new every day. And so often before I even get out of bed in the morning, I'm like, Lord, help me today. Mm-hmm. So why don't, I'm going to pray and then Carrie's going to pray, because that's normally how we end our time together. And we try not to fall asleep. So we recorded it at a decent time today, so we're not going to fall asleep. And there's a couple times where we'd be like, amen, amen.
And there's no response.
So
I think that's all right.
So we're going to be used to it. If you guys don't respond when we say amen, then we'll trust that you're praying on your end.
Because they can't talk to the camera.
No, but you could high five the screen wherever you are. Like, way to go. It's possible.
You could. Or you could email us neweveryday@category5.tv.
Or like us on Facebook.
New every day.
We do want to say thank you, though, to Eco Alkalines for powering our mics, because then it would be really hard for you to hear us if they weren't doing that. And the cool thing about Eco Alkalines is they are a carbon-based battery, so there's none of the junk that pollutes our environment.
They're carbon neutral, environmentally friendly.
Yes.
Yeah. So they are providing all the batteries for the cameras, the microphones. So we're just very thankful for that. We're also thankful for Category 5 TV for the opportunity to have a spot on their channel. So thanks so much.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we pray?
Let's do it.
All right. Dear God, thank you so much for this time. And thank you that your mercies are new every day. And Lord, we ask that as we listen to each other and as the people listen at home or at work or wherever they are, Lord God, that they would be encouraged. And Lord, for those that are hearing about you for the very first time, I ask that you would give them courage to listen more. And for those that want today to make that decision to follow you, Lord God, I ask that you would meet with them in a real way. They would feel your presence, and they would know your love. And Lord, for those that are growing in their faith, would you bless them today? Encourage them, and may they feel your presence in a new and a fresh way. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that you are good and awesome, and no matter what, you are faithful. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Father, that you allow us to come to you and even pray to you. Even if we don't have the right words, you let us come. And I thank you for that. I thank you for how you have shown yourself to me and Jen in our lives. I really praise you for that, God, that you have made us new, that you've forgiven our sin because of what Jesus did on the cross. And Lord, we want to live new every day for you.
Amen.
And God, we're just excited about this show, and we pray, Father, that you would show us the things to talk about, and that you would encourage people as they watch to know that you do love and care for them. I thank you, Lord, that a relationship with you is not about just feeling good or having peace and joy, God, but you want to help answer the questions that are tough. Like, who am I? What's my purpose? Where did I come from? And where do I go when I die? And so, yeah, we are just excited and pray that you would bless the viewers. And we commit next week to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So I'm Jen.
And I'm Carrie. And we do hope that you will tune in next week for the next episode of New Every Day.
Here on Category 5 TV.
Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.